to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello, welcome to episode 280 of the Self-Help Podcast. Wow. With me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. We're talking to a camera again today, aren't we, Sean? Another experiment in our live streaming. We're not actually live streaming yet. I'm going to be just turning this mic down a bit.
We're going to get there.
Get that gain down. Maybe next week we'll live stream it straight to Facebook. See how we go. We need to figure out the setup as well, because I need to be kind of...
We need to have some stooges out there that can be watching it and kind of...
We've got two stooges behind us, actually, in the office here. Yeah. I'm sure we can sucker a couple of people in to help us out on that first episode.
Let's get it rolling, see how that works.
Yeah, okay. We're talking about responsibility today, based on a couple of incidents Sean and I have experienced in the last couple of weeks, which we'll discuss shortly.
And I hadn't realised that you had had one too.
Well, I don't want to shout too much about it. You'll probably see me in the local news at some point, but you never know. Before that, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look for all the show notes and links. Lots of resources on there from this week. All previous episodes are on there too. It's okay. What else? Oh, yeah, free meditation files to heighten your responsibility, your awareness, your mindfulness.
Yeah.
Just sign
up
for the
form. Maybe we should be doing... phone jingles,
Phone jingles, we haven't got any. Ringtones on the go, Crazy Frog and all that. How you been, Sean? You okay?
Yeah, I am okay. It's been a really, really hectic week because of the issue.
Because of the incident.
Which raises a whole load of issues for me. And I hadn't realised that you've been in a similar situation.
So yeah.
It's good.
Well, that's my main talking point of my last week and a half. So we've both experienced hit and run incidents with vehicles and our related to our roads locally, haven't we?
Yeah. And the thing that amazes me with your one is how you're not damaged by it. Because that was a big truck, and you were on a bike.
Shall I explain mine first? I've got footage, but I'm not going to put it online yet because it's still kind of ongoing with police and stuff. Basically, I was on my way home from work, on a quite a busy road, a very wide road, but it suddenly became very narrow because I was overtaking a bus. And when I did, a van came alongside me and whacked my elbow, hit my handlebar as well, actually.
But you actually dented the side of the van.
Left a big black mark up the side and
that's quite a whack.
Dented the van, and somehow, I think I did lean on the van a little bit and I managed to keep going.
But having seen the footage, I don't know how you stayed on the bike.
Just my cat-like reactions, momentum, who knows.
Amazing.
Another 10 centimetres and I'd probably, a trip to hospital would have been called for. Anyway, the driver ran off or did one in his vehicle, braked initially and then did one.
Yeah.
But I've got the footage, I've got front and back camera footage, which I reported to the police. And it's still kind of ongoing. He's saying he didn't see me and he thought he hit the bus. Phew, crazy.
Even if he did hit the bus, why didn't he stop?
Yeah, I know. And that's what we're talking about today, about responsibility. Yeah. Why don't we own up to actions and why don't we? Because he'll be carrying this around with him now for...
Yep.
Hopefully there's some kind of compassion involved and he's learning.
But is it that there has to be pain to create the learning, that there has to be some level of punishment, whatever that may be, to get someone to wake up?
So he's going to be on a full day's driving awareness course, not one of those speed awareness courses, a full day, which is quite expensive for him.
He has to pay to go on that.
Yeah, and he'll lose a day's pay from work as well.
Yeah.
So, hey-ho, all right, cool. I've learned a bit in terms of how much faith I put in drivers around me to actually see me or do the right thing. And I'm in touch with the council as well about making things safer for riders and people on bikes in the first place, giving us a safe space to get home to and from.
How do you... I have to come back at you on this because in an episode a little while ago when you were taking the juice out of my high-vis jacket on my bike, do you think that if you'd had a high-vis jacket on, you would have been more visible to him?
I don't know. I would have. I had a backlight flashing away, which is super bright. I don't think so. All the research I've seen shows that it doesn't make much difference. In that particular case, maybe it would have, I'm going to stick to my guns and carry on regardless. campaigning for kind of more awareness, you know, in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, don't know. But do you want to talk about your incident?
Well, weird.
Your hit and run.
Yeah, Robert always parks his car in the road, and we've got our drive, then the drive of the car of the house next door.
Yeah.
About midnight.
He wasn't parked on the pavement.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the end.
Yeah.
A couple of nights ago, midnight, there's this huge bang. He heard it, I heard it. We were in different rooms. I just thought it was something going on away. It was only in the morning when I came out that I saw that his car had been moved. It had been hit so hard, it had been moved across two driveways up the road into a wall.
Yeah, I've seen the photos, and it's a public Facebook link, so I'll share that with our audience if they're interested in having a look.
I think that's a very relevant thing to say as well, because it was the rural kind of crime watch.
There's some Facebook pages in there where people...
And in the end, we found the person, because it was a hit and run. We found the vehicle, mainly because of the people that were doing the investigations for us online.
Outsourced criminal...
Yeah, because the interesting thing was that because nobody had been damaged by only the car, I mean, Robert's car's written off now, and the car that hit it, that was a Jaguar. And the one thing that really impressed me, though, was although he left his wing in the road, so he had his wing to match with the car, was how strong the Jaguar vehicle was, because despite the fact that he hit, and he must have been doing 60, 70 when he hit it, to move Robert's car that far. From a parked position and drive off. It's like, well, aren't Jaguars made well? I think that's a good advert for Jaguar.
Hats off to Jaguar. Oh, yeah. They should use the photos in the next advertising campaign.
Yeah. But in the beginning, the police weren't interested because no one had been hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is quite frustrating because it means you have to do the investigation yourself to kind of work it out. Once we'd found the car and the car had been identified and where it was, then they became interested and they'd taken the car away for forensics to determine who was driving, because that's a grey area at the moment, or that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But if an airbag's gone off in your face, it's going to leave a mark or two.
Yeah, there'd be a DNA. But the thing that that hit me particularly, and particularly when you and I were talking about it earlier on, and the guy that hit you, is what is it in someone's personality that makes it okay for them to just go off and leave whatever mess they've made behind them?
Yeah, and in road traffic incidents, it's common, isn't it, to hit and run? It happens all the time.
Well,
you've got some stats, right?
I've got some stats here, yeah. There's been 80,000 hit and runs in a year. In the UK, which is like a phenomenal, 80,000 people have thought that it was okay to do something and then just leave the site of whatever they've done and just go away.
We've got some serious psychological issues going on here, right?
And what's that about? I mean, when we go back to my perennial, if we'll look after each other, we'll all be all right, where does that stand in that?
Yeah.
You know, and at what point is it okay to walk away from something? And where's the morality in that?
Yeah, I mean, I have clipped wing mirrors with another car's wing mirror and just driven on and thought, it'll be okay, I'm sure. It's another thing when you've smashed another vehicle onto a pavement, into a wall, or you've actually hit a person and driven off, not to check if they're okay.
I don't understand how on earth you could hit another person and then leave them in the road and drive off.
Yeah.
I don't understand that at any level.
Me neither.
I know there's people that do it, but it's like, where on earth are you? Where's your mind?
So in my road safety travels that I've been going on in the last few months, I've met a lady involved with an organisation called Road Peace, which promotes kind of safe and more hospitable roads and road safety. And she got involved because her son was killed quite near to here, about 24 years ago, so she's carried that around with us since then, and she campaigns really actively for safer conditions. But it was a hit and run, and they still, to this day, never found the driver responsible for her son's death.
Yeah.
And obviously that's terrible from her point of view, because she hasn't been able to process fully the incident. But it's also, if you think about it, the chap or the lady that was driving that day has been carrying around that emotional baggage for 25 years with them, through their lack of ability to take responsibility for them. And you wonder if they're still out there, you know, walking the streets, and what kind of personal baggage they're carrying with them. Because it was quite high profile, and it was actually on the World Globe website a few weeks ago, marking the 25th anniversary. It's a long time to carry around something like that, the death of somebody on your conscience, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Did you know that the thing that we were talking about, you had this camera back in front that you use when you're riding your bike?
Yep.
And if you hadn't had that cam, there's nothing you would have been able to do about this, but you've actually been able to do it.
That's right.
Which is pretty amazing. If you look at the thing that has happened with Robert, obviously he wasn't in the car, even if you had a dash cam, but just checking out on it, you can get dash cams that activate, and when you're not in the car, they'll activate by sudden movements. If someone tries to break in your car, they can switch on.
Mm-hmm.
And start recording, and if they're beaming, if they're connected, then you're going to be able to record that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to stick a link into a website which kind of lists 10 of the best dash cams for car, and it's becoming more and more popular. I think there was an article on the BBC News over the weekend. I saw the police have had like a 75% increase from last year on amount of footage being submitted via dash cam from vehicles, and the odd person on a bike as well. So I can probably see a situation in the next 10 years where it becomes compulsory, or at least to have some kind of black box.
Well, the stats type recorder. Are 2013, 1% of motorists. By the time you get to 2017, it's 15%. And by the time you get to the end of this year, they reckon it's going to be 30% of cars are carrying dash cams.
Yep.
Now, do you think that that's going to change people's behaviour on the road? I mean, you're on the road at the coalface, as it were, as you demonstrated by being hit by the van. Do you think that if people were more aware that there was a dash cam filming, they would be different?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it works, you know, and speed cameras on roads work, you know. And actually, I'm quite a big fan of average speed cameras now you've got on motorways.
Yeah.
They're much better at getting people to not just slow down for where the one camera is, but for over a long period. Drive slow, so they do work big time. Not everyone likes them, and there's apps out there that will alert you to speed cameras on the road, so you can know exactly where they are. I don't like that, because you should be driving at a safe speed, because you never know when there's going to be someone on a bike or someone crossing the road.
Yeah,
people are dying.
I had a TomTom that did that.
Oh, and it beeped
when you approached the speed camera, but it was disabled in France because it's illegal.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like the language used around speed cameras, because people talk about getting caught speeding, don't they? They did me for speeding, and it's like, well, hang on, you were breaking the law, you know, and 2,000 people died last year on our roads, a lot of which were 95% was down to careless driving, so I want people to want to slow down and take responsibility for it. And I think, cameras and black box recorders in cars will have a huge... Technology will step in the next 10 years.
Tell people your story about the guy that locally who was using his forward dash cam to stop people in cars using their phone.
Oh, no, that's not locally. This is a London-based rider who, on his commute into work, and he has a helmet on his camera on his helmet, and he's looking constantly in the streams of traffic that are back-to-back, nose-to-tail. He's looking for people on the phones all the time, knowing that it's illegal and it's really unsafe. And he basically, on one trip, he caught 15 people in one trip on their phones, checking Facebook or whatever, using his camera, and he would knock on the window, and so he would get the person on camera, and he would get the registration of the car, obviously. And pretty much every single one of those people was sent a notice after he reported them to the police. They all got £200 fine and 6 points on the license. Crazy.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of thing. It's like, who's responsible for this? Should it be the police? Should it be the people out there? You know, the crazy cyclist who's wanting to make the roads safer for everyone.
But maybe the issue is.
And how quickly will people catch up with the knowledge that it's not something you should be doing because it's unsafe?
But if we're all doing it,
yeah.
So rather than, you know, if the house next door catches fire. do we all sit and watch it burn, or do we run and get a bucket?
Yeah.
You know, if we're waiting for the fire engine, do we do anything about it?
Uh-huh.
And maybe the issue that this is highlighting for me, certainly with like the World Crime Watch thing, which was pretty good. I think I love the idea that there were people out there that were looking and helping, and 36 hours and we'd located the car.
Yeah.
It was the culprit.
It's clever, isn't it? This kind of hive mind responsibility platform, isn't it?
And the other thing that surprised me too was that when we followed the road where he had gone after the hit, how many houses actually do have cameras? And people did record him coming by.
Oh, really?
But couldn't get the number plate.
Couldn't quite get that resolution, however.
But there are traffic cameras. Where he would have come, that would have, if we got, we've applied for that, and you'd be able to see the number plate, but they're powerful enough to zoom in and see the person who's driving.
Wow.
So,
as he was zigzagging his way up and down.
Yeah, I think that we've cracked it. and the issue is that I felt quite, you know, I'm into the law of allowing to be what they need to be, but this one's kind of pressed my button.
When it happens to you.
Yeah.
Because I've seen so much cycle footage of close calls and stuff, and I've never had anything happen to me until now. And it kind of does wake you up a bit, doesn't it?
But in the world that we live in, if you're car dependent, which is in this case it's true, and then someone takes your vehicle away from it, effectively you've now become disabled because in this situation you can't get to work.
Mm-hmm.
So does that person then become culpable for your lack of income and for all the other stuff?
Well, I'm sure there's some kind of legal case and some kind of someone wanting to take that on and add all that up.
Yeah. But it's the issue of, do we take responsibility for who we are?
Yeah.
Are we taking responsibility for what we're doing? You came up with a wonderful mindfulness quote. Have you got it?
Which one have I got? I've got a few here. There's some really good articles that talk about the wider impacts of taking responsibility. I've got a couple. So, taking true responsibility for yourself gives you back the power to create exactly what you want in your life. This means that you must take responsibility for your thoughts, words, and actions.
Yeah. And when we were running the Live in the Present course, that was the principle, wasn't it? You take responsibility for your life and create the life that you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of what we were doing in terms of self-development, that was very relevant. This is directly appropriate to the issues about what's going on in everyday life, and indeed being on the road as well.
I'll zoom in. I'm just going to zoom in on the video. We've got a van coming into the building.
All right. Oh, that's lovely though. We've got a van coming into the building.
The train is being disassembled here.
Are they taking it away now?
Yeah, in 2 weeks. So they're responsible for.
So with your bike head on, did you take your bike in?
I didn't actually. No. But I did speak to them about it, and it's better for getting bikes on and keeping them safely.
Yeah.
But
so being able to take your bike on the train, which means you can use your bike in more situations, so less cars.
Yeah. That's the goal, man.
Yeah, it's good.
Reduce car dependency. But yeah, the wider thing of responsibility. How do we kind of... There's two political sides of this as well, the kind of conservative personal responsibility side, that where we should all take responsibility for ourselves. You know, we shouldn't have the nanny state looking after us all the time and telling us what to eat and telling us what to watch. And then there's the more kind of compassionate side of politics where we look after each other, the National Health Service. Where do you stand on that?
I think that we're in the process of losing our sense of community. After the war, obviously, there was the beginning of the National Health Service, and people had to work together to survive the whole kind of the war situation.
Yep.
Yeah. Once you get beyond that, and we got to the 80s, we went through the 60s, a lot of peace happens. By the time you get to the 80s and you get Maggie Thatcher saying there's no such thing as society, we're all just individuals.
Yeah.
And then you get the I, me, my stuff, the yuppies. So at that point, when community ceases to exist, I think people get progressively more selfish.
Go on, I'm just mucking around with the camera.
You're playing, aren't you?
Yeah, and that's the point we've arrived at now in 2018.
I think so. I think we're getting to that point. In rural communities, if you were in India or China, where people lived in villages that were identified communities, if one person in that village did something wrong, then it shamed the whole village.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're probably still at the point in our society where if someone does something in your family, it could shame the family.
Yeah.
But not always, because we're breaking, the family's starting to break down. You know, it's nothing to do with us, it's them. But on that basis, if I don't identify with the person I've just hit with my car, because they're not part of my community, it kind of justifies me driving off and leaving them because they don't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that's the danger that we're at, where that idea of we're no longer a collective, we're now just a bunch of individuals that happen to be together.
Yeah.
And that idea, if we all looked after each other, we have to be a community.
Yeah, I was speaking to a friend about it a few nights ago about my incident, and he asked if I'd considered calling the person up that did it, or the company, because it's a commercial vehicle, and ask him to speak to the person that did it and have a chat with them, you know, not aggressively, not looking to kind of kneecap him or anything like that, or just to speak to him about the incident and the consequences of it, and, you know, remind him of the fact that I've got a couple of little kids that I was trying to get home to, that kind of thing, and whether it's changed his way of driving at all, and try and get some kind of positive out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the whole principle. We don't have problems, we have learning opportunities.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. Like, if you can turn it into something good, then that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about the best way to do it, because I've got this quite shocking footage as well that, you know, I don't want it just to be another one of those dash cam footages that's used to kind of highlight how dangerous our roads are. I want it to be used for something positive. Yeah, and I've already sent it to the council, actually, because the people I'm working with, because they're actually, the road it happened on, there is some cycling infrastructure due to be implemented. So I said, well, and it's happened at the same time, they're kind of getting the ball rolling on the design phase. I'm like, okay, well, here's what happened to me last week on this road. Can you figure out some way that if a bus is parked, that I can pass safely on the inside of the bus rather than have to join this melee of traffic of fast-moving vehicles?
Do they do that on the cyclists? Do they go on the inside of a bus?
Bus bypass. You can do. There's a couple of ways of doing it. There's a cheap way and there's an expensive way. So, but I've just heard, I heard back just this morning from the my contact at the council, and she said, "Oh, it's fantastic, Ed." Well, she was like, "A crazy incident. I couldn't look at the footage, but I've just been chatting with the engineers, and we're having this amazing discussion based on this footage right now about how
maybe it'll turn into something good."
Yeah, know? Hopefully. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I would like to do the same thing. I'd like to talk to the guy that did this outside our place, not aggressively, but just to kind of understand. And I think that idea of about knowing that someone's learned something.
Yeah.
Because then it makes it kind of a valid lesson.
Yeah.
As if the person doesn't care, then that's...
Yeah, and I think you need that kind of awareness. Awareness is mentioned in a lot of the blog posts, or a couple that I'm going to link to in the show notes, in terms of being aware of situations. And every action you do in life, not just when you're behind the wheel of a ton and a half of metal, but right now, you know, everything you're doing right now, be aware that you're having an impact on other people and taking responsibility for that.
In the karmic sense, that life is consequential. There's a consequence to everything that we do.
Yeah, you know, and think I'm reading about climate change all the time, and I'm uber, like, aware of it, or try to be, of every action that I have every day, and everything I buy, and everything, every time I turn the key on, don't turn the key on a car, every time I push the ignition button on our car, do I need to be making this journey and spewing out 120 grams of CO2 every kilometre, or could I have walked, you know?
Yeah.
That's about awareness, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's us taking responsibility for ourselves, but taking responsibility for the collective.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can get hold of that idea that we are a community, you know, there aren't different races, they're just the human race. If we could do that, it would be so different.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. You got any, have you got a resource?
Well, my resource is this. I think that it would be really good if people investigated the idea of doing dash cams. And not just doing the dash cams, but doing what you've done, is that when you're in a difficult situation or things are tough, you actually report it. So there is some consequence to action. So that collectively we're taking responsibility to improve people's behaviour and awareness.
Yeah.
So I am going to go from here, and I'm going to be investigating dash cams.
You're going to have a look.
And I'm going to have one fitted in my vehicle.
All right.
Front and back.
Cool. Very good. Yeah, well, mine is a YouTube channel that I've been following for a while, and it's a driving instructor in Liverpool called Ashley Neal. And he records all of his journeys. And it's a really good example of particularly Liverpool roads, how ridiculously dangerous they are. But also, I didn't realise how much stick and how much kind of bullying your average learner driver gets on the roads in terms of being overtaken in situations you would never normally overtake a car. But for some reason, a lot of drivers see a learner sign above a vehicle and use it as an opportunity to bully and kind of do really crazy things.
Yeah, that's
so
nice.
I would have a look at that YouTube channel because it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. I felt good getting all that off my chest.
Yeah, good. Therapy.
It's been a bit of a crazy couple of weeks, eh?
It is quite disturbing that it's like sometimes people's cars represent a safety bubble.
Yeah.
At the end, I work with this as the victims. Of things, and people live in their safety bubble. And they've got their kind of snacks and all their belongings and stuff, and their music and their sounds. And it feels like you're really safe in that until something happens to break through it. So when you get the accident, then people get terrified in the car.
Well, you are safe in the vehicle almost no matter what these days, with that many airbags and it's the people outside that you need to be a bit more aware and take a bit more responsibility for, I think, your neighbours and your community in it.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We've recorded this one again. I'll whack it on YouTube. I'm not sure what the audio is going to be like, given that we're a bit far away from this mic for next week.
Can you not put that audio with that?
Plug this microphone into there and then into here as well.
I don't know.
Oh, do you mean take this and just paste it over?
I don't know.
Yeah, I probably.
With the lips.
That sounds like a lot of work. There is something on the back of that to plug it.
A mic in, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get some microphones for next week.
Yeah, okay.
We
will do this.
Right, have a good week, Sean.
Okay, and you.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Bye, guys.